No one represented better the beauty, grace, and spirit of generosity and compassion than Princess Diana. And we are very fortunate in Cincinnati to have the final exhibition of Diana, a celebration. And joining me are Nick Grossmark and Graham Merton, who are the dress handlers for the wedding dress in the Diana, a Celebration exhibit. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
First of all, you are specifically assigned to handle the wedding dress for the display, and you are the only two people in the world authorized to actually handle the dress. That's correct, right?
That's correct. We're very, very privileged.
Why is it that they limit it to just you two? What is involved in displaying the dress?
Hi, it's Nick speaking now. We've actually been involved with the exhibition now for the whole of its entirety for the last 16 years. So we were obviously very lucky to be chosen originally as part of the team that put the exhibition together for Charles Spencer, her brother. So consequently, we were entrusted right there and then really with the handling of the dress, and nobody else gets to handle it except for us. Obviously, all the artifacts we help put together, but there's obviously a very well-oiled machine that is behind us. There's a big team of people that we work with. But that particular dress is the one that we have sole responsibility for.
And the dress itself, from the day of the announcement of the engagement, was the most anticipated fashion statement of the 20th century.
That's right. The company that was chosen, i.e. the Emmanuels, Elizabeth and David Emmanuel, were a relatively young English design company. So when they were chosen, it was not so much a surprise, but they were obviously it was an honor for them to get that commission. There was lots of speculation as to what the dress was going to be like, and the press were camped outside their workshop studio / showroom, which was in Mayfair, but they had to kind of paper up the windows. Apparently they had to take all their trash away because the press were going through the bins looking for scraps of material or maybe a discarded design, etc. But as everybody knows, nobody knew what that dress was going to be like until she stepped out of that carriage on the day.
And following with a lot of British traditions, there was an envelope that was sent out not to be opened until she stepped into that carriage.
That's right. It's Graham here. It was very, very closely guarded secret. But the dress itself is so beautiful, and Princess Diana's brief to the Emmanuels was fairy tale princess. This really was because Princess Diana got married in St. Paul's Cathedral, which is the largest cathedral in London. And obviously she had to make a real impact, which she did. And the wedding train is the longest wedding train in royal history. It's 25 feet.
Part of the allure of this dress for the public was, in anticipating the design, was she going to go modern? Was she going traditional? And she managed to combine English history and tradition and a contemporary sense and that fairy tale aspect.
It's obviously of its period. And as you just said, they did manage to combine the elements of history and also what was up to date there at that point in time.
Some of the things that I found interesting in reading about the dress was how much, according to royal tradition, the dress was actually manufactured and created in England.
Yeah, that's correct. The silk taffeta fabric, which is the main body of the dress, was woven especially for that purpose. There are two lace panels, one at the front and one at the back, which were actually pieces of needlework that were presented by Queen Mary to the Royal School of Needlework. I think they used that as the basis for their main design. And then the rest of the dress kind of came from there, really, that they then had to make all the lace detail, which was also once again done in England, was their inspiration for that styling.
A lot of other English traditional elements were brought in, flowers from Queen Victoria's garden cutting, the Spencer tiara. What other elements of English history or tradition, or wedding tradition even, were incorporated?
Obviously, the tradition with an English bride, it was something, or any bride, it's something new, something borrowed, something old, something new.
And but she had all of that.
She had all of that going on. There was supposedly a blue bow inside the dress, which had a gold horseshoe attached to it. But when we were given the dress way back 16 years ago, that unfortunately was no longer around. So it was probably taken as a memento, I'm sure, and kept. But the earrings were part of that.
There were so many different elements within the dress. When you actually come to see Diana, a celebration exhibition, you will see the dress in its full with the train fully out, which we never ever see when the dress is shown at Allsall, because we don't have the space. So I think people are very, very lucky when they come to the exhibition to actually see the full train. Also, interesting little details. It's on the soles of her shoes. There is a small C, a heart, and a D. It's different details like that which make this such an exceptional kind of wedding. And we are talking about, I think it is the most famous wedding dress in the world, because it's reputed that over 1 billion people actually saw the royal wedding.
In addition to the wedding dress, a lot of the other fashion trends that Diana inspired are represented in the rest of the fashion exhibit.
That's right. We have a style room, style gallery as part of the exhibition, and there are 28 items of clothing there, which are a mixture of day and evening wear. And as you can imagine, Diana had a lot of clothes. So it was quite a job initially to kind of edit through and just pick things that would obviously resonate with the public when they saw them, that they'd remember them from press events and newspapers, etc., that they'd seen her in. But we also wanted to kind of show her style as when she started out as a very young princess, and then how it grew. She became this style icon, unfortunately, until her demise. After she was no longer a member of the royal household, she didn't have to wear purely English designers. So her style changed completely, and she became much more international in her taste and was wearing Italian, French, etc.
I think one thing that you really notice when you do come to the exhibition and you actually enter the dress gallery, as you walk through the dress gallery, you can see, and we've all had fashion faux pas, there's a couple there, but you can see at the time when you start looking at the dresses wore her. And as time went past, she was definitely in command of the dresses. And she used her image and her style to draw attention to the charitable causes that Princess Diana actually worked with. And there were so many different charitable organizations that she worked for. And a lot of them people didn't know that she was actually associated with. But she was a remarkable woman, and she used her style and influence to spearhead different charities.
In addition to the fashion, as you mentioned earlier, you help with other portions of the exhibit. It's not just the dresses and the fashion. It's a lot about her childhood and her time as princess. What are some of the other things that guests will see in this exhibit?
Well, I think the exhibition actually tells a story of a very, very extraordinary woman, as you said, from childhood all the way through her life. And there's so many interesting items within the exhibition. Things like letters to her parents, like any child would send to their parent. Things that she loved. I mean, Princess Diana loved frogs. And that side is really cute, because there's things all the way through her life, even till just before she passed away, she had things with frogs on in her personal cases, her briefcase, etc., which, again, you can see here. It just goes through her whole life. And I think that the item that I really love is a small prayer book that was given to Princess Diana by Mother Teresa. And that you actually look at is very small, but I think it's two very, very iconic women sharing their charitable thoughts. So that is my actual favorite item. But there are so many items which cause interest and they keep everybody going. A lot of guys, when you see them coming out of the exhibition because they think it's all a ladies kind of exhibition, well, that is completely not true, because you see guys coming out and they go, I didn't believe that Princess Diana did so much. And it tells so much about not only Princess Diana, but about our royalty and our aristocracy. A lot of Princess Diana's ancestors, believe it or not, were very, very powerful women. They actually changed history. And she carried on. She changed history. People have got to come to see the actual exhibition so that you see it from your own eyes, that there are so many things in there. And it's history we're talking about here now. I mean, it's something that a lot of people don't realize. You read so many facts about English history, seeing Princess Diana's family home, seeing the island where Princess Diana is actually laid to rest, which is the most beautiful place. It's very, very peaceful. And I think she's resting in a very, very peaceful and beautiful place, which is her home, Allsall.
This is the last stop for the exhibit tour, and you've been with it for 16 years. What happens to the collection now?
Well, the collection, Prince Harry and Prince William, on Prince William's 30th birthday, his mother's will came into place, and her wishes were that when they were 30, all of her possessions went back to them. I think Prince William has decided that all of the dresses and all her personal effects will go back to them, and it's the last time I feel that this exhibition will ever be seen, not just in Cincinnati, but around the world, because the Spencer part of the exhibition will go back to Earl Spencer. So it is. Cincinnati is so incredibly lucky to have the opportunity to see a woman's life for the last time.
After it's all over, what will you two be doing?
We're lucky. We have a creative agency, Nick Grossmark Associates, and we deal with a lot of stately homes. We actually also work with fashion. So we will carry on that side, so that this has been such a big part of our lives. It's actually really upsetting. It's like when we did the uncrating of the wedding dress, I actually got very emotional because it was the last time that I will ever be doing it. And it is a very large section of our lives. I didn't used to have grey hair, but I do now. So all of these things have happened over our lives, and we've had such an experience with it, meeting the most fascinating and brilliant people. And everybody has been so very, very kind, and they remember Princess Diana in so many different ways.
Did the two of you know Diana?
Well, I actually met her once, and I was walking my dog, just walking along a street in London, and I saw this very elegant woman coming towards me with no security or anything, and the nearer she got to me, I thought, gosh, that's Princess Diana. And she actually stopped, talked to me. She was laughing about my dog's collar, petted my dog, and I think that's when I realized that Princess Diana was so gifted by making people feel so at ease, irrespective of where you were, who you were. She just put you at ease straight away. So did I know that a year after, that I would actually be dealing and working on the exhibition of Princess Diana's life.
I'd like to thank this evening's guests, Nick Grossmark and Graham Merton. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
For more information on the Cincinnati Museum Center's presentation of Diana, A Celebration, please be sure to visit our website at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.
I've been allowed to share your thoughts and dreams, your disappointments and your happiness. You have also given me an education by teaching me more about life and living than any books or teachers could have done. My debt of gratitude to you all is immense. I hope in some small way I have been of service in return. A year ago, I spoke of my desire to continue with my work unchanged. For the past year, I have continued as before. However, life and circumstances alter, and I hope you will forgive me if I use this opportunity to share with you my plans for the future, which now indeed have changed. When I started my public life 12 years ago, I understood the media might be interested in what I did. I realized then their attention would inevitably focus on both our private and public lives. But I was not aware of how overwhelming that attention would become, nor the extent to which it would affect both my public duties and my personal life in a manner that's been hard to bear. At the end of this year, when I've completed my diary of official engagements, I will be reducing the extent of the public life I've led so far. Obviously, I attach great importance to my charity work, and I intend to focus on a smaller range of areas in the future. Over the next few months, I will be seeking a more suitable way of combining a meaningful public role with hopefully a more private life. My first priority will continue to be our children, William and Harry, who deserve as much love and care and attention as I am able to give, as well as an appreciation of the tradition into which they were born. I would like to add that this decision has been reached with a full understanding of the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh, who have always shown me kindness and support. I hope you can find it in your hearts to understand and to give me the time and space that has been lacking in recent years. I couldn't stand here today and make this sort of statement without acknowledging the heartfelt support I've been given the public, I've been given by the public in general. Your kindness and affection has carried me through some of the most difficult periods, and always your love and care has eased that journey. And for that, I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Your footsteps will always fall here along England's greenest hills. Your candles burned out long before.